Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're unpacking Eric Klinenberg's Going Solo. So Sophie, what caught your attention first?
Hey there, Sam. I'm glad we're spending time on this one. Going Solo looks at the huge rise in people living alone, and it completely flips the standard panic.
The numbers are nuts. In 1950, only about 4 million Americans lived alone. Today, that's over 31 million. More than one in four households. That's a demographic shift we've never seen before.
And it's global. In cities like Paris, London, and Tokyo, solo households often pass 50%.
So I have to ask, is this just everyone becoming more selfish?
That's the easy answer, but Klinenberg says no. The first cause is women's economic independence. Once women could support themselves and control their own lives, marriage stopped being a survival strategy, and that changed everything.
So people began choosing partners for love rather than financial security.
Then the city itself became a social infrastructure. Think of all the cafes, gyms, and museums around you. You can have a full public life without a partner, and the city makes that easy.
Plus, the internet lets you stay close to friends who live far away. Being alone at home doesn't mean being disconnected.
That's the communications revolution. It blurs the line between solitude and connection.
Still, everyone frets this is the end of community. I felt that worry when I first opened the book.
Klinenberg's research turns that around. People who live alone tend to be more socially active than married couples. They volunteer more, eat out with friends more, and go to cultural events. They're not withdrawing, they're engaging.
Right. They have to, right? A couple can become this cozy little island. A solo dweller has to build their social world on purpose.
He calls those networks urban tribes, chosen families that are fluid and resilient. And the real loneliness, he says, isn't about the headcount in your home.
It's about feeling isolated. You could be desperately lonely inside a crowded marriage. So the size of your household tells you very little about your actual well-being. Yes, the quality of our relationships is what counts, not the number of roommates.
And that's why the panic about living alone is misplaced. The real enemy is isolation, not solitude. Living alone can actually give you the push to build stronger connections.
But let's be honest about the dark side. When you're sick, no one brings you soup. When you lose a job, there's no second income.
That's why he pushes for a stronger public realm, good healthcare, reliable transit, safe parks, and housing with shared spaces. The solo life depends on those supports, and we've been neglecting them.
So the answer isn't trying to revive the nuclear family. It's building better public services.
He also profiles all kinds of solo dwellers. There are young professionals who see it as a rite of passage into a new city.
Then there are divorced people who discover real autonomy for the first time.
And lifelong singles who've created a complete life around independence.
But the fastest growing group is older adults, especially widows, right?
Exactly.
And his interviews with seniors are amazing. They talk about peace, control, and self-possession. They have earned the right to shape their final years. They aren't lonely, they're sovereign.
Wow, that's beautiful. It totally changed how I think about aging.
There's this idea of being together alone, too. Think of a coffee shop full of people with laptops. Everyone's in their own bubble, but they're all surrounded by the hum of others. It's a new way of being social.
And that's not disconnection. It's a kind of sociality that doesn't demand conversation. Yeah, the city becomes a shared living room for people who live alone.
Now the economics. Solo living is expensive. You pay for everything yourself, from rent to groceries to utilities.
And in big cities, that premium is high. But people willingly trade money for freedom.
That creates a booming market for single-serving everything and on-demand services. But it also makes solo living a privilege, and Klinenberg doesn't ignore the class divide.
Exactly. And that brings us to his call for a new social contract. Rethink housing, urban design, and the social safety net, so every household type can thrive. That's my takeaway. The solo revolution isn't a crisis to fight. It's a reality to accommodate and even celebrate because it expands human freedom. We should design our world for all kinds of lives.
And honestly, if you want to go deeper, the whole library is over on 7minutebooks.com/app. There are over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. And it's just $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. Because the real question isn't whether we live alone or together. It's how we build a world where everyone can feel at home. We'll see you in the next one.